Second-order thinking means looking past the immediate result of a decision and asking what happens next, and then what happens after that. Last autumn I met Zhou Lan, who runs a community group buying business in Hangzhou. She raised the commission for team leaders from 8% to 12%. In the first week orders rose by 30% and everyone relaxed. But by the third week, people in the group began complaining that the same vegetables were not as good as before. When she reviewed it later, she realized that after the commission increase, leaders spent all their energy on recruiting new customers, and after-sales service for loyal customers was neglected. That small detail is exactly the second-order ripple quietly rising behind a first-order result. So-called second-order thinking means, after you ask what this step will bring, asking one more question, and then what will that bring? The first layer is the direct consequence you can see. The second layer is the echo that consequence generates on its own, often arriving months late. Zhou Lan said she used to make decisions by only checking whether the light came on when she flipped the switch. Now she also wonders whether the wiring inside the wall will overheat once the light is on. Second-order thinking does not ask you to reject immediate benefits. It reminds you that any forceful action comes back around. It is a kind of honesty across time. You admit honestly that today's bargain may be the bill you pay tomorrow. For ordinary people, this does not mean becoming hesitant. It means learning to leave half a step of room while excited, and asking, and then, before making the call. I have observed a group of entrepreneurs, and those who treat second-order thinking as a habit are rarely led around by short-term data. They do not ignore growth, they keep an eye on the cost behind the growth. In the second month, Zhou Lan changed the commission structure to recruiting plus retention, dual metrics, and complaints from longtime customers truly fell. She said looking one more step ahead saves not only money but also the energy of repeated. This chapter aims to build your intuition. Second-order thinking is not metaphysics, it is a muscle for asking what happens next. In the following chapters, one will use concrete models, real cases, and an actionable checklist to help you train that muscle. Remember one line first: every decision that looks like pure profit is just a bill that has not arrived yet. Putting first order and second order side by side makes things clearer. The first order consequence is the one you actively pursue: lower the price, sales rise, work overtime, progress moves ahead, scold someone, they submit. The second order consequence is what those successes generate on their own. Lower prices squeeze the profit margin and leave no money for research. Overtime drains your state and quietly raises next week's error rate. Scolding makes people obey on the surface but stop telling the truth behind your back. Lin Chin manages more than 30 fast food stores in Chengdu, and he has personal pain with this chain. One year he raised the weight of serving speed in assessments from 30% to 60%. Stores became more than 40 seconds faster on average and management was satisfied. But a quarter later, complaints about too salty and too oily doubled. Reviewing it, he realized that to save time, store managers took using less seasoning as a shortcut. He optimized speed but quietly redefined taste. The trap is that we reward ourselves with first-order results and blame ourselves with first-order failures, yet rarely take responsibility for the second-order bill. Now before every decision, Lin Chin forces himself to write one sentence: this step, who will pay what invisible price, 3 months from now? He says that sentence is like a rope pulling the floating excitement back to the ground. You can self-check the same way. Next time you are about to make a change that is obviously beneficial, do not cheer yet. Take a piece of paper and write, what does it bring directly, and what does it indirectly make worse? Fill both columns before you consider the matter fully seen. Many people think they are weighing, but they only placed weight on one side of the scale. Between first and second order there is often also time. Direct consequences arrive in days, indirect ones may knock months later. Precisely because they are late, they are most easily blamed on other reasons. Lin Chin warns that real second-order bills often disguise themselves as bad luck lately or the market changed. Learning to recognize them is the first lesson of second-order thinking. The consequence of the consequence is the deeper layer of second-order thinking. If the second order is the next step of this step, then the consequence of the consequence is the next step after that next step. Many decisions look stable on the surface. The problem lies in the third or fourth layer. A well-intentioned policy spawns speculation at the second layer, breeds dependence at the third, and by the fourth layer the original goodwill is completely diluted. I remember a friend in education told me a real example. To raise reading volume, the school gave a banner to the class that read the most each month. First order was good, reading volume went up. But the second order emerged, some classes began faking it, rereading the same book over and over just to hit the count. The consequence of the consequence was that children treated reading as a task and their original interest faded. Goodwill, after going around twice, became a burden. This is exactly the hardest part of second-order thinking. The longer the chain, the harder to predict, and the easier it is for every layer to look fine. Everyone at each link is hitting their own metric, yet no one stands at the end of the chain to take a look. The consequence, oh.